Hello and welcome to the Idaho Reports podcast. I'm Logan Finney. This week, the Idaho Senate returned two budget bills to the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee. That is House Bill 723, the Idaho Transportation Department budget, and House Bill 726, the Department of Administration budget. At issue in the discussion is sale of the 44-acre property on State Street in Boise that is the home to the former Idaho Department of Transportation headquarters. Here joining me to talk about the sale of the property and the legislative debate going on is Margaret Carmel from BoiseDev.com. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Margaret, just to get everybody on the same page here, we have a pretty scattered audience across the state. And for the people who don't live in Boise, can you give us context? What is this 44-acre property that the state currently owns?
So for decades, this property on State Street, which is a main artery going through Boise, has been the headquarters to the Idaho Transportation Department. And the administration building is just one small component of this campus. It's a large property with a lot of open space, lawns, parking lots. It also has the state's asphalt testing lab. They also have a storage facility for the State Historical Society. And there's a lot of things going on. It's also, a lot of people don't realize this property stretches all the way to the Boise River. So technically it is a waterfront property.
Yeah, probably the most visibly striking detail on it is the Phil Batt building, the former headquarters building, but the piece of property that thing sits on is surprisingly big. Until I was actually out there myself, I didn't really get a handle on how big the piece of property was.
Right, and it's not only that it's big, it's that it's situated right on the edge of downtown, and it's something that the city of Boise and others have long looked at as, okay, is this the best utilization of this property? We have a relatively small building sitting on a 44-acre campus on prime real estate. State Street is one of the busiest streets in the city, and it's one that the city of Boise is targeting for transit and, you know, looking at building more housing. And so there's been a lot of conversations both at the legislature and at the city of Boise saying, okay, you know, kind of assuming that this might turn over eventually, especially after the state bought the HP campus.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because the HP campus is another big state-owned piece of property in Boise, and it was kind of purchased with the intent of moving a bunch of different state agencies with their own little campuses all over town to kind of this one big centralized location, right? Can you make sure I'm getting that right and talk about the history there?
Yeah, so the idea of, this idea of the ITD campus being sold and ITD relocating off of that property goes back to 2018. It's been discussed for a long time. And it goes back to this idea of this study group that was done to say, okay, let's look at all of these properties we own that are high value real estate, that are off the public tax rolls, and is there a more efficient way to do this? Also, a lot of these buildings, including the Phil Batt building, are old and aging. And so the idea behind it was it would be more efficient for the state to own one large campus where all these state functions are, as opposed to scattered sites in these aging buildings that might have problems. And so that's really where the idea of, hey, this ITD campus, massive land in a rapidly developing corridor, this building sitting on a property this large, a waterfront property this large, you know, 50 years ago, or, you know, 40 years ago, made sense because downtown Boise had not grown up the way that it has. And it was still considered out of downtown. That is now, like, downtown has now grown to the point where that property is sort of the periphery of downtown now. And so things have really changed.
Definitely. And ironically, after these gears were set into motion, there was a flood at that building that has damaged it pretty significantly, right?
Yes, it was considered a catastrophic flood on three floors, all three floors of the building. And because of the age of this building, it was built with asbestos. So think about water gushing out of the wall on three floors. And, you know, that's putting asbestos around. And it essentially made the agency have to immediately evacuate the building. There was no going back in after that. And so the agency has not actually worked at that site for 2 years.
So while this has all been going on, now the state has been making moves to sell the property to a private developer. Can you talk to me about Hawkins and Pacific, the companies that are trying to purchase the property?
Yeah, so after long discussions and multiple approvals from the state, you know, to sort of move in this direction of improving the ITD camp, the HP campus for ITD and other agencies to move, the state finally said, okay, we're surplusing the property. We're saying we don't need it anymore. They put it out up for bid, and there were multiple bidders. I can't remember how many other, but it was more than half a dozen who bid on the property. And Hawkins Companies and the Pacific Companies won, and another group won that bid. And they said, okay, we're gonna buy it for $52 million. And they wanna do they do mixed use commercial development as well as multifamily, all kinds of stuff. And so their vision for this property is to combine commercial development, like retail, restaurants, potentially some office use. It's we don't have the exact details, and affordable housing place, townhouses to buy, and apartments there. So it'd be a combination of a bunch of different things, like a dense mixed use site. And that's really what Pacific Companies and Hawkins Companies do. You look at their projects, they're building some of these urban sites. Pacific Companies has developed multiple affordable housing projects in Boise already. They've also developed market rate upscale commercial properties in Eagle. And so these companies are really, they're both really zeroed in on these like urban style projects, which is really what the city of Boise is looking for. And it would really boost the tax rolls, which is something that the state has said they're looking for in the past.
Sure, because when a state owns a piece of property like this campus, the county, local governments, they don't get to charge property taxes on it, right? So everybody else pays that share.
Correct.
That gets us to this legislative session. I feel like we've been talking for a long time and we're just getting started now. The state legislature has made some moves to try and stop this property from being sold. Can you talk to me about those actions?
So there's been a whole series of different actions over the course of the session. The first action was in January. Pretty much right off the bat, we saw a bill from Representative Britt Raybould and Speaker of the House Mike Moyle that essentially would have changed the process for how the state surpluses property in an attempt to disrupt the sale. But immediately they didn't come out and say that was their intent. Whenever the bill was in committee, they talked about it, but the word ITD campus, none of that was really in the conversation. It was just, oh, you know, we're just changing this process. And I looked at it and I thought, oh man, there has to be a reason for this. And knowing, I'd heard rumblings that JFAC was unhappy, legislators were unhappy with the sale. And I asked some questions about it. I sat down with Mike Boyle and I said, hey, is this gonna impact the IGD sale? And he said, I hope it does. You know, and he went on to talk about how it's a bad idea. And so then that bill passed the House almost unanimously. I mean, no one really debated it. But then it was on hold for a while. And now legislators, they put intent language in the ITD budget and the Department of Administration that manages state buildings budget that says, we want to end this sale. We want to walk out.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because that first bill you talked about that Moyle and Raybould introduced, it was about like the procedure for getting rid of property. It was making sure that before the Department of Admin put something up for sale, that other state agencies, other parts of the state can maybe get ahead in line of the private sector and say, hey, before the state gets rid of it, maybe we want to use this property. And if I'm remembering what Moyle said correctly, he basically implied that didn't happen in this case, and they kind of jumped some steps.
So Moyle made that, he was frustrated with that. He felt like state agencies were not notified. The Department of Administration, and I'd been told that everyone was notified of the potential sale. Also, this potential sale was well publicized in the media for multiple years. So I'm really unclear exactly on the details of, you know, who Mike Moyle says was not informed of the idea for the sale. It's like those things are sort of unclear to me still. And then obviously the things spiraled out past that. But really what that bill was going to do, that initial bill, it was less about ensuring that other state agencies could make a claim on a property, which is code now. Like, the part of the surplusing process is to say, I'm selling this building, Logan, do you want it before I get rid of it? That's already in the surplusing process. Really, what the bill that Moylan Rabold wanted to pass would do is it would make it a more political process, making it something that elected officials were much more involved in. And part of Moyle's argument, he's like, if elected officials are involved in this deal, then they can get a better price. And so, but that is really on ice right now. And now the debate, the fight over this is going on in JFAC.
Right. That gets us to today when we're talking on Wednesday. I referenced at the top of the show, the ITD and admin budgets were pulled back to the budgeting committee. They had matching language that pretty much flatly revoked the ability to get rid of this property. Those were pulled back to committee. We were all kind of waiting to see what happened Wednesday morning to see if they would rewrite these budgets, and they did not. They worked on some trailer bills. They rewrote a court's budget that had been voted down and adjourned at the call of the chair, which means we are going to wait and see when JFAC comes back. Have you, Margaret, heard any sort of rumblings about negotiations that might be going on about what the lawmakers are up to?
I haven't heard any specifics, but I think there's a lot of tension here between the two sides of the building, and as well as with the governor's office, because the House, I mean, clearly the House is frustrated with this deal. You know, you've got the Speaker of the House speaking out against it. They unanimously passed a bill that would impact the sale of the property. And, you know, but then whenever they were passing the budgets, there was debate over that. And the budget to pass this ITD budget that had that language in it, revoking the sale, it only passed with one vote. And really the deciding vote on that was Democrat Brooke Green's vote. And because she sits on the JFAC committee and she debated against it. She said, I don't think revoking the sale is a good idea, but I'm going to vote for the budget because I'm on the JFAC committee and we worked really hard on this. And her vote was likely what got that over to the Senate. So it was a slim margin. I think as the session has gone on and this has been discussed more, it's become more contentious. So then it gets over to the Senate, and without even debating it yesterday, really at length, they said, nope, we're sending this back. The sense you got from Senator Chuck Winder was we don't want to tank the sale.
Yeah, Winder pretty explicitly said he thinks that language needs changed. Really, the most debate the Senate saw was whether to send both bills back or to wait and see what happens to the ITD budget.
Right. And so they, you know, clearly the House is done with this idea. They are like, we want to keep the building, you know, and their House leadership wants that. But you don't really get the sense that I think the Senate is looking for a change. And then in the middle of that, you have the governor's office, and Governor Little has been, I mean, at the breakfast with the media where he answered questions. He took a question. I asked him about it, I said, well, what happens if this sale goes out? And he just said, there's more unknowns than knowns, I think was his quote. And you get the sense that like his office was wanting to do this. This is something that his administration had been working on, you know, the Department of Administration under his direction. And so I'm assuming he is talking to legislators as well at this time. So what do you do whenever you have one chamber that really wants to tank the bill, tank the sale, and another chamber that is maybe listening to the governor's office and saying, no, I think a deal is a deal. I think we need to go forward with this. And I'm assuming they're in conference rooms hammering it out right now.
That's probably a solid guess. And one of the interesting things that I've noted as well is the fact that this intent language is put into these budgets. If it was just a straight up policy bill that said, we don't want to sell this property, you could argue maybe that was a special law or the governor could maybe even veto something like that. But having that restriction baked into the budgets could possibly, you know, pose a political issue for Little if he It would be an unusual step, I'll say, for a governor to veto an agency budget, even though he has the power to. That's not something we see all that often.
Right. And this also, you have to put this in a larger context of the legislature. Where should they be doing policy? And that was something that some legislators brought up in JFAC as well as on the floor, saying, why is the budget committee that doesn't take public testimony like a traditional committee making this big decision on what we're doing with this property? And then, oh, look, it comes to the floor all knotted up with replacing bridges and roads and all the sorts of important things that ITD does. And that, I think, is a question of where should the legislature be exercising its power, and is this the right time and place to be doing so?
We talked earlier about Hawkins and Pacific, the companies that are trying to purchase this property. We talked about their mixed-use vision for the site. If the legislature, the House in particular, is successful in blocking this sale, is there any expectations for use of the site if it stays in state hands?
We don't know. There's a lot we don't know right now. I asked ITD that a couple weeks ago. I said, hey, if this gets blocked, are you guys going to move back? Because the state estimates it will take $32 million to renovate that building. That's how jacked up it is, for lack of a better phrase. And so I said, okay, so if you guys are going to spend the $32 million, will ITD go back to the building? And they did not give me a firm answer. They said, we're still talking to the legislature about it. And really, ITD's place, I mean, they're a state agency that works at the direction of the governor and works at the direction of the legislature. So they're not really going to come out and say one way or the other, we like this idea or we don't, or at least not publicly. But so we don't know exactly what that building could be used for. The legislature has already spent a considerable amount of money renovating the workspace for ITD over at the HP campus. There was a bill in 2022 that appropriated $37 million toward the renovation at the HP campus, with intent language in it saying this is for ITD to move there permanently. And so if they were to move them back, it's really unknown, well, what would happen to that space they already built out? We don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks and a lot of questions about the monetary figures here. It would cost upwards of $30 million to fix up the building, but that's really a rough estimate because we don't know how bad the damages are.
Right, and especially given the volatile construction environment, this hasn't gone out to bid. Right? Because whenever you go out to bid, that's when you find out how much it's really going to cost, because that's when construction companies say, okay, if I'm going to do this project, you have to pay me X. We have not gone through that process yet. So it could be $32 million, I mean, but it could be more, especially given the inflationary environment that we're in. The other aspect of this is the asphalt testing lab, which is a big reason we haven't talked much about why they're wanting to kill this sale.
Yeah, tell me about the asphalt testing lab, what it's for, and why in particular it has lawmakers concerned.
Right. So this sale, the legislators are not trying to kill this deal just because they feel like it. Their concern is, whenever this idea was initially floated, commercial real estate prices were through the roof before COVID. And so this property was expecting to fetch $100 million. I mean, this is a big, important property. But then after COVID and people are working from home and retail is not as strong, those prices have, the market has changed. And so that's why the state only got $52 million offer on it. So that changed the calculus. And there's an asphalt testing lab that was unaffected by the flood. So that's a separate building. And that lab there, the initial plan was, you know, okay, that has to move, right? If we're going to sell the property, it has to move. And the bid to rebuild and move that lab, which is a highly specialized lab, came back at over $50 million. And so essentially, lawmakers are concerned, okay, if we sell the land, we're losing this valuable downtown property. All of the money that we're taking from the sale will go into rebuilding and moving that lab. And then also, okay, the HP campus is a much more, it's closer to residential suburban neighborhoods. It's a traditional office park. Is that the right place for an asphalt testing lab? And the price tag, I think there was some sticker shock there. Both on, wow, this didn't sell for as much, and wow, this lab is gonna cost a lot, you know, to move. And so that's another piece here that if the state decides to kill this bill, we go from, yes, we're getting money from the sale, but we're also spending to replace a lab. you know, but then versus not selling it and then having to pay $32 million to renovate a decades-old building full of asbestos that got flooded.
Difficult calculations on either side of the equation.
Right. And I think lawmakers are weighing what's the right thing to do. And you also see this that happens in government when they make like decisions that have a long view is one, elected officials change. I mean, a lot of the legislators, you know, that were around in 2018 as this idea of buying the HP campus and moving everyone and moving ITD, you know, that started when the legislature had a different makeup.
Oh, yeah. A lot of those people aren't here anymore.
Right. And then, but then, of course, and then COVID happens, which completely changed all the ways we work, we shop, we live. And it changed the real estate market. And, you know, but at the same time, it's not really accurate to say the legislature didn't know about this deal. I mean, pretty much every year there's been a major appropriation that goes towards turning the wheels of getting ITD off of that property permanently. Just last year, they appropriated $16 million to move the historic preservation materials that are out there. So there's been purchases every year leading up to this, which is why there's frustration of, we've come this far. You can't tank it this close to when we're about to do the deal, especially when you're dealing with the private sector who has said, hey, if this doesn't go through, we might file a suit against the state.
Yeah, you took the question right out of my mouth.
Oh, sorry.
No, as I want to ask you, how formal have these discussions been? Is there anything signed? Is this just a handshake deal at the moment? And how significant would it be for the state to back out at this point?
So right now, we're at the stage where the deal has been awarded, but part of the agreement was the developers got a long closed time. Like things weren't gonna, money has not changed hands. Nothing has been formally signed because they were saying, I believe they wanted a longer lead time in order to make sure that the rezone and all of the things like for the city of Boise to approve the project they want to do go through.
Sure, a lot of local Boise stuff that the developers have been paying attention to.
Right, and so that was part of the deal. So things have not closed yet. So it's kind of, you know, and obviously we're not attorneys, we don't want to do legal advice, legal analysis on the show, but this is not the same as paperwork has been signed and the developer has forked over the money to the state. That has not happened. And so we don't know if we're going to see a lawsuit yet and exactly what that lawsuit would look like.
Well, we will keep an eye on this issue as it delays the last couple of budget bills before we all get out of here. And if this does end up going to court in the months ahead, I'm sure we'll have you back to talk about it, Margaret.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to the Idaho Reports podcast. Keep up to date with all of the moves of the legislative session on our website at idahoreports.org. We'll have a new episode for you next week, and be sure to catch the Friday show at 8 p.m. on Idaho Public Television.
Presentation of Idaho Reports on Idaho Public Television is made possible through the generous support of the Laura Moore Cunningham Foundation, committed to fulfilling the Moore and Bettis family legacy of building the great state of Idaho, by the Friends of Idaho Public Television, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support for Idaho Public Television comes from the School of Public Service at Boise State University, providing objective and impactful research for Idaho and beyond, and academic programs with hands-on learning that equip students to be effective public service leaders.